So now please put your hands together and welcome to the stage, Mr. Matt Harvey. Oh, hey, gentlemen, you're back. You're bold. I might switch mics, to be honest, because this is very limiting. I can get this far. Hang on one sec. I'm a professional. Hello. Well, I mean, you guys just saw me do 50 minutes of stand-up. I'm not going to do some stand-up to warm you. you're plenty warm. So please welcome to the stage my co-host for the show, Mr. Marty Adder. I don't think so. I hope not. After that, I hope not. It's the worst running gag that we have, because in the last festival show, every show he opened with a reference from 2002 that wasn't even relevant then. Fuck. Got it. We've got it going on. Cool. just for anyone who's not sure, this is a live podcast. It is a showcase of people who are doing shows in the Fringe Festival. So if you see the people who are up on stage tonight, you should definitely go see their shows. We've handpicked all of the people because we find that they're talented and entertaining. So we hope you find them that as well. Now, we've got a little theme for the start of the show, for this show. This every show's got a theme. There'll be a slightly different one. This one, the underlying theme is music. It probably won't have too many references to it if we remember, but it should be fun.
We often have a theme and that we sort of completely forget.
Completely loose. Completely loose. It's there, like in the back of our brains, you know, like a parasite. God. Oh, fuck. I'm going to get rid of this. Well, I guess we're running pretty tight tonight, so I might actually... There we go.
It's our first night, guys.
I love all the visual silence.
It's our first night using microphones.
The first ever, yeah. Right. I've got a few, I've got a few fun facts, seeing as we're talking about music. Just some fun ones before we start bringing on the real fun. Let's see. What have I got here? Oh, this was one of my favorite things that I looked up. The longest song title. The sad but true story of Ray Mingus, the lumberjack of Rock City, and his never slacking stride in exploiting the so far undiscovered areas of the intention to bodily intercourse from the opposite species of his kind during intake of all the mental condition that could be derived from fermentation.
That's off Taylor Swift's new one.
That's the most insane song title I've ever heard. A fun fact for you guys. Madonna was grounded at the age of 15 for sneaking out to see David Bowie in concert.
Hey.
Good taste. Yeah. Good taste. Yeah. Worth getting grounded for. Totally worth getting grounded for. What else we got? I don't know. Not too much. Let's not fuck around too much. You got anything for us, Marty? Oh, here's one. Marilyn Monroe. She got a white poodle from Frank Sinatra named Mafia. Not subtle at all, Frank. Not subtle at all.
Wasn't known for his subtlety.
I guess not. No, he was known for many other things. We weren't going to
gonorrhea,
down the road.
Mainly.
Gonorrhea?
What? No one said gonorrhea.
All right, let's just, fuck it. Let's just start bringing on our first acts. We've got a tight evening and we've got a few guests to get up. So I think we might start off with a wonderful stand-up comedian who I've seen around. She had her opening night tonight, and from what I hear, it was a sellout, and she went really well.
Oh, yeah.
So please, put your hands together and make her feel very welcome. She's doing us a great favor by coming out here, Miss Gabe Hogan. Woo! You can have whichever mic you like. This one's got more cord.
More cord. Excellent. How are you doing, guys? It's good. I've been introduced on stage a lot of times with some weird stuff, but never with gonorrhea, so... One for the record books. What are we doing here? Are you guys disappearing? What's happening now? Am I doing... All right, I'm doing some stand-up. Great. So I had gonorrhea. No, no, no. How you girls doing? You doing good? Yeah, girls. Good to see you. So my name is Gabe Hogan. I have to leave a pause between Gabe and Hogan because if you say it too fast, sounds like Gabe Hogan. That's me. He was a bit slow there. You got there. Excellent. Look, I've been looking after my three-year-old nephew one day a week, and he's adorable, right? He keeps asking me to put his hair up in a hair tie, and I think it's really cute. I don't have any problems with it whatsoever. Like, if he wanted me to put bows in there, I would totally do that. No issues. But I felt like his parents wouldn't feel the same way, right? His mum got home the other day, and he runs up to me, and he whispers in my ear, "Can you tie my hair up?" And I was like, yeah. We go into the bathroom. I tie his hair up. I'm so worried about his mum's reaction, like really worried about it. He comes out to his mum. I shit you not. He runs straight up to her and he's like, ta-da. Wow. Like her face, she was pretty upset. I could tell, right? And I said to her, look, I'm really sorry. I didn't want to be the one to tell you this, but I think your son might be... you know, a hipster? And she was like, no, maybe he's just gay. And I was like, nah, he asked for a top knot. And he also asked me to make him a soy baby chino, so he's a hipster. I told her, maybe just don't vaccinate him. It's what he'd want, right? This is such a weird gig. Why is there a big gap in the middle here? Come on in. Why are you guys sitting up there? Come to the front. Come to the front. Come on. Yay. Yay. Go, you guys. Woo. You just shuffled your butt there. Now you're ready. Okay, that's awesome. Thank you so much. It feels better now because there's a little line of people here. It's good. Just ignore those guys up the back. There's... He's looking back there. Look, in 1801, toilet paper was invented. Before that, I guess gentlemen would just wipe their bottom on the carpet. I don't know that for a fact, guys. I'm not sure. Now, you probably think that that's it's a a poo joke, but it's not. It's actually a period joke because it's a period in time. It's a time period. And I'm a female comedian and we do period jokes, so I have to. I'm obligated to do at least one, so tick. I've recently just quit my job, which is awesome. I was a dog groomer, actually, and my boss was horrible, like really nasty. She would hit dogs when they were misbehaving. She would kick their cages too if they were making too much noise. And she was mean to people as well, like me. I'll give you a good example, right? There was this one day, I was in the bathroom, I was looking in the cupboard, and I had my head under the sink like this. She walked past behind me, sneezed, I got a fright, and hit my head, right? Like, and I know that she saw me, right? We made eye contact, right? She had to hear the... Anyway, she had to hear that, right? It was much louder than that, to be honest. But, like, I know she saw. I put my head down in my hands like this to rub it, and then when I looked up, she'd just pissed off. Like, she didn't even ask me if I was okay. That's not normal, right? No, thank you. But you see, the karma bus hit her just a few days later, right? Because she slipped over in that very same bathroom and hit her head on that very same sink, just at the back here, right? And she did it heaps better than me too. And what I wanted to say to her was something like, I don't know, like... But I didn't do that. I didn't. I asked her if she was okay. I got her a chair, an ice pack, and a glass of water. And I'm not sure if that makes me a better person or a doormat. But I think I did what any normal person would do, right? Well, actually, a normal person probably wouldn't rub margarine into the bathroom tiles. Still a better person. Welcome, guys, ladies. How you doing? Good, good. Nobody wants to sit next to you, mate. They're always leaving there. So I don't know what you've done, but no one wants to get near you. It's fine. You look really sweet. Did I make it awkward? I may have made it awkward then. Have you guys noticed how hipsters seem to be taking their styling tips off Ned Kelly? It's true, right? With the long hair and the bushy beards, I just feel like they should fully commit to it. like wear a bucket on their heads and take multiple gunshots to the torso and groin. You probably think that's another hipster joke. It's not. It's a Ned Kelly joke. No, it's actually another period joke, isn't it? Ah, got you again. I'm sorry, I write a new one every 28 days. So how come you guys are late? What's happened? Where you been? Oh, you were late and you let the rest of the team down. Is that what happened? Is that your boyfriend? Does he do it all the time? Yeah, excellent. The whole time she was just like, looking at him. So how do you guys feel about being late for the show? Because you missed some really great stuff I just did up front. You feeling good about it? Excellent. You got drinks? Oh, you're driving, you're late, so you're banned, and you want to keep your wits about you so you can tell him off later. Okay, mate, I'll get a beer if I were you. You're in the shit later on. So, guys, my grandma was on Facebook the other week. She was on Sunrise, that morning program with Koshy. You guys know the one? Koshy, right? The reason she was on it is that she's 92 years old and she goes to the gym four times a week. And I think it's really unfair, right? Because I've been doing this for a few years now. I'm trying to get my name out there. I'm just waiting for my big break. Like, I want to be on TV. All she had to do was go to the gym and Channel 7 rocked up. It's bullshit. That's what it is. It's bullshit. I do a lot of stuff on social media too, like Facebook and Instagram, Reddit, Twitter. I do it all. I might get, 50 likes on Facebook, maybe 100 likes. Koshy tagged a photo of my grandma at the gym. Guess how many likes she got? Just throw a number out there. 1,000, that would be pretty good. I'd be happy with that. Not good enough for Betty though. She got 11,000 likes. 11,000 likes. 1,800 comments and 1,400 shares. What a bitch. No, seriously, you don't understand. I taught her how to use Facebook and now she's just rubbing it in my face. I blocked her. She hasn't even noticed. It's too good for me. But it's kind of, I know it's impressive. Yeah, she goes to the gym four times a week. That's pretty good. But what else is she going to do with her time? Hang out with her friends? She gets it. They're dead. So, the weirdest stuff has happened to me. I did this gig in Belgrave the other week. I'm single, by the way. Any single people in the audience? No one is single here. Hey, how you doing? I like beer. I'm just looking anyway. I went to this gig in Belgrave. Has anyone been to Belgrave? Yeah. Are you going to go back? No, of course you're not. It's terrible. If you don't know where it is, it's far out in the eastern suburbs. It's just like the sticks. It's bushland, right? It's the kind of place that just makes you feel like burying a body. Do you know, like, that kind of vibe? It's weird. I was with a friend. We had a gig there. Afterwards, we got invited to karaoke across the road. I actually didn't want to go. I was driving. My friend was drinking. So he was like, let's go karaoke. But as I was driving, I was like, let's go before my car gets stolen. But he convinces me to go. We get over there and we're talking to this couple at the bar. They're not together, right? But she's got her hand all bandaged up and she thinks it's hilarious. She's like, oh yeah, my girlfriend loves it. She loves it. But then she winked. Oh, this is a podcast. They can't see the... Her hand's wrapped up like a gun for anyone who's listening. And just imagine my hand is a gun. Anyway... She walks off, my friend also walks off to do a bit of karaoke and they left me at the bar with this guy, right? And she had said, my girlfriend, I think I may have missed a bit there. So she's like, my girlfriend loves it, but winked and said, oh, because she loves guns, right? So anyway, this guy that I was left at the bar with, he leans into me and he's like, yeah, I love guns. I just done 4 years for weapons charges. He goes on to tell me his finest achievements. This guy, he rides a motorbike drunk all the time. He's like, oh, I ride him off all the time once a month. I just buy a new one. doesn't bother me. I got heaps of money. He's like, oh, but I did have to get a job though, only to stay out of jail. He's laughing at this point. He's like, I'm a tree lopper. They pay me a lot of money to do it. I don't need the money. I got 200 grand buried in my backyard. My God. At this point, the girl with the hand, she comes back and she doesn't want to be outshone by this guy. So she tells me, yeah, well, I was the first person to be charged with stalking in Australia. What is with the people in Belgrave? He doesn't want to be outdone, though. She's getting some of the limelight. So he says to me, yeah, well, there's an internet Google website page about me. Internet Google website? What is that? What is with the people in Belgrave? I need to ask you questions later. It's not just that you're single, but we'll talk about it later. Anyway, I look up this guy's name on my phone. I find this... Oh, sorry, I'm going... A Herald Sun article. The headline is, accused thief of rare Redmax race car arrested again, this time on guns, drugs and cash charges. The guy had been found... He was stole a $320,000 race car. Like a legit Grand Prix. Like one of those, right? It's about this far off the ground. It looks like the wing of a plane. It's got like a steering wheel, a hole where he sits, and four wheels in it, right? Like you can't drive this thing down to the shops. Like you couldn't get it out of your driveway. It's that low. Why would you steal that? Anyway, the article goes on to say that he was found in possession of ice, cannabis, and $3,000, believed to be the proceeds of crime. He was also charged with having counterfeit cash, stolen bank cards, unregistered firearms, and a machete, right? So I'm shitting myself at this point. The guy sees what I'm reading and he says to me, you know what's not in that article? Nobody knows this, not even the cops. When I stole that race car, I took my four-year-old son because he loves Lightning McQueen. I totally misread this guy. He's just a good dad, right? Just a good dad. He then says to me, look, there's people trying to kill me. There's been many attempts at my life. That doesn't bother me. I could kill a man with my bare hands. In fact, I have. I've killed a man with my bare hands. Oh. He says to me, none of that bothers me. You know what's going to catch up with me at the end of the day? You know what's going to kill me in the end? Loneliness. What a sweetheart. Like a real sweetheart. So I went home with him. Yeah. Waited till he fell asleep and I spent the whole night digging up the backyard looking for the 200 grand. Didn't find it. Did find a hand though. Had a ring on it. I love it. It's really lovely. I've got way over time, so I will wrap it up there. Sorry guys.
Gabe Hogan, ladies and gentlemen, doing a fantastic job. Oh, don't go too far. You can hang out with us backstage. You can hang out with us just backstage. We're going to keep it rolling on. We'll have a bit of a chat. You want to test that one?
Sweet.
Test that one? Yeah? Yeah. Hello. How are we doing? How you doing, Gabe?
Good. Very good.
Excellent. Yep. So you had your opening night tonight, and yes. That's super exciting.
It was.
It went well?
No, it did. It went well, guys. It went well.
Even if it didn't,
come along,
she's not going to tell you.
It's fine.
Because she's a professional. That's fantastic. And your show is called?
Gabe Hogan, Making Life a Double.
Making Life a Double. Mm. After those harrowing experiences.
Yeah,
I can understand that.
Yeah,
I can completely
exactly.
Understand
I don't think do things by halves. I like to go hard or go home.
All or none. For any of the gentlemen in the room.
Okay. You can go hard, it's fine.
Oh, that's fantastic. And where are you? Where?
The Courthouse Hotel in North Melbourne at 10 past 6.
10 past 6.
Yeah,
excellent.
Early show.
All right. And how many more shows do you have?
Eight.
Eight more shows. So, guys, highly recommend. Get out there, see Gabe. She's fantastic. And she's nice enough to come out and entertain you guys on a 10:30 on a Thursday night.
It's breakfast time.
True. Well, that's fantastic. We might keep it rolling along.
Of course,
if you want to hide out backstage with us, and we'll bring up our next act, Mr. Struan Logan. He's a fantastic comedian. Give me a clap, guys. Come on, bring him up. He's come all the way out here. He's not even from Australia. He's not even Australian, and you guys can't even... This is our immigrant policy right here.
I like how you went for it. it's Stu and Logan, and now afterwards we're now with the introduction, now that I'm on stage as well.
So yeah, yeah. It's
friend of ours.
This is all about me.
That's what that show's secretly about.
Yeah, all right.
Are you guys going to hide in the back?
We're going to go backstage.
Sort of like running.
Stu and Logan, ladies and gentlemen. Woo!
I like that. There was like directional there as well. I'm just going, guys, clap, go for it properly. So yeah, hey guys. Yeah, so my name is Struan. I'm from Scotland, but I'll be honest, guys, I'm a pretty shit Scotsman. If you're expecting like kilts and manliness and Highlander, you're going to be disappointed, I'll be honest. Like, the best way I can sort of tell you how I'm a shit Scotsman, like I got a nickname back in Scotland where a friend who described me as like a cartoon character. And which cartoon character that was? Winnie the Pooh. I know, right? It's like, even there, it's more like, oh, rather than funny as well. It's like, just ridiculous. Like, but to be honest, I am like Winnie the Pooh. Like, the main reason, though, I'm like Winnie the Pooh is because my t-shirt collection is entirely too small for me. Good. Most people wouldn't start with a visual joke to start off a podcast, but I'm a maverick like that as well. Like, I've lived here, that's the thing, like, I've not come in especially to Melbourne for this festival, to be honest. I've lived here for the last year, and I've really enjoyed it. It's been really, really fun. Like, and it's what I like as well, is because my name is Struan. It's like a weird Scottish name spelled S-T-R-U-A-N, or if I fell over, I'd be Struan all over the floor. Like, good, one fan of puns in, that's at least the start as well. Like, but what I like is when I explain my name here is you do the classic Aussie thing of not giving a shit about it, which is great, because before this, I lived in London and that wasn't the case, guys. Like, ended up, when I lived in London, and even like when I first moved there and I met a proper London geezer the first time, you know, they're not the friendliest of people, but I went to him, hi, my name is Struan, and then he replied, why? Like, it was my fault. But I mean, like, you've got to admit, London does have the best dickheads in the world. Like, I'm used to people taking the piss out of my name, but I've never had before or since had someone destroy my name in one word. Like, that's fucking impressive. Like, the thing that I get more often here is, like, for example, you know, and obviously, like, here when you're getting coffee in Melbourne, like, the barista pretends to be your friend, and he goes, hey, man, can I get your name? And you say your name is Dave and it's fine. That's not what happens to me. Whenever I get coffee here and I say, my name is Struan, the barista then freezes in fear. They're just about to write it. Like, I've just told them that my name is Lord Voldemort. And then afterwards, they'll go for the backup in their head. They've gone like, oh, you said Struan. No idea what that is. So they go, oh, did you say your name was Stuart? And I have to go, no, no, no. I said my name is Struan. Stuart, right? Yeah. No, no. Struan? Stuart? The queue's just going bigger and bigger, so I have to go, fine, my name is Stuart, sorry about the mix-up. Like, or the other one that really takes the piss is people seeing my name written down and still getting it wrong. Like, I've applied for jobs here, and I've had once when someone applied to my a job when I just arrived here, and they said, hi, Stuart, thank you for applying for this job. Please come down for an interview on Wednesday. So that's how shit the competition was for that job. Was I got offered work. Even this guy thought I couldn't spell my own name. Like, and the other thing is, most of the time I've worked here, like, particularly my first few months, I worked as a bartender here and end up, like, I've worked as a bartender back in London and ended up, like, the weird thing I had to do was, I've been a bartender for a while, and even then, to work here and serve alcohol, I had to get what you guys call an RSA certificate. Holy shit, that thing is a bag of dicks, isn't it? Like, I can tell you guys have all done the RSA course. You guys, not so much. Like, that's the difference there as well. Have you guys done it before? You guys? Oh, you guys have. Cool, because, like, basically, you do a four-hour course, which is the most patronizing thing you're ever going to be taught, which is, hey, guys, don't serve alcohol to drunk people. That is the entire course. And then afterwards, you get the most patronizing quiz you've ever had in your life. And there's only one question in it which is stupidly difficult, which I never understood, which was question 7, which was, which one of these things counts as binge drinking? A, someone drinking large quantities of alcohol in quick succession. B, someone in a family function. Or C, someone on a blind date. Now, I maybe just sound horrendously Scottish here, but the only correct answer to that is all of the above. Also, are you drinking coffee at 10 o'clock at night? I like it. Why? Are you? Is it really this? Have you just been up for a while? Are you just committing to as much fringe stuff as possible? Or are you? Nice, fair enough then. Okay, that's cool. Because, yeah, like the other thing I did as well, bar work-wise, the last month I've gone back to working in bars but doing temp work. So I've been working in, like, odd places around Melbourne. And, like, basically similarly, I was working at the Peel Hotel and was drinking coffee at, like, this time. Because basically, if you don't know, the Peel Hotel is, like, one of the main gay nightclubs here. And I had to drink coffee at 10 o'clock because I worked from 11:30 to 6 o'clock in the morning. And it was totally worth it, by the way, though, because gay people tip so much. Like, it's kind of like you've gone, hey, you're obviously straight. I mean, look at me. I'm not exactly on the gaydar in the slightest. But, like, I mean, the thing is as well, like, they're just like, hey, you're straight, so you're cool with us, so we're going to tip you, is the cool thing. And I found out, because of doing these events, that gay guys in gay clubs are the second best tippers I have ever experienced in my life. Does anyone want to guess who the best is? You're never going to get it, but does anyone want to go? No? No one? Okay. It's people on ecstasy. They are the best tippers you will ever see in your life because they're just like, oh, I just want a water. Oh, here's some money. I feel nothing but love. Just let me touch your face. Like, that's the thing. It's such a weird thing, but it's cracking as well. Like, and the other thing as well is, like, what I like about Australia, like, particularly Melbourne, like, I've been in a lot of, like, been gigging around a lot of Australia, and I like how Australia is so gay-friendly, but it's weird how you've still not got equal marriage. Like, it's fucking mental that you, I know, sorry, I just, that, like, that is the exact vibe. It's like, particularly Melbourne and Sydney are just folding their arms and going, for fuck's sake, up your game, Queensland. Like, that is, you kind of just have to wait for them now to go, yeah, we accept people are equal. Like, that's kind of what you've got to do. And it's weird because, like, obviously, like, it's weird. There's no gay marriage here. And I'd say Melbourne, particularly, is the most gay-friendly city I've ever been in my life. Like, I end up, like, I live just down from the Peel Hotel. Like, I live in Collingwood. And ended up, like, I also, the bar I worked in the first year, I worked Southside. And every night, I'd come back, ride my bike in on Wellington Street, and pass by this weird, mysterious building that was called Wet in Wellington. Right, some of you have caught on already, but ended up like, I didn't know what that was. I thought it was a big swimming pool open at 2 o'clock in the morning. And obviously it's not, as you guys can guess. Like, I looked on Google and then found out it was a gay sauna, but I'd never seen one that big before. Like, that was an industrial level of gay sauna. And ended up, while I was on the website, it actually says on its own homepage, click here for our list of activities. Now, you guys are just curious at me at this point about saying, what the fuck does that mean? And what it is one of the words on this list of activities is the greatest word I have ever seen in the Australian language. One of the activities on that list was the suckatorium. I know, right? That is a fantastic word. And it's also a uniquely Australian word. Because what you've done with the English language is you've taken two concepts and made it into one word, where you've made blowjobs competitive. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a whole sport riding on that as well there. Like, that's the thing. Like, you could basically, I imagine it started off where it was two gay guys and like arguing over who was the best. They're going, oh, I'm great at giving head. And then this guy goes, no, I'm the best at sucking dick. And then someone's gone between them and gone, well, then let's decide, guys, the suckatorium! Lower the gates! And I think this could help solve the whole, like, problem just now with homophobia, where basically, you know, you've got a sport going there. You can make your own rules to it. You know, you guys did that with Aussie rules. You can basically start making this into a game. You can have your own rules. You can have your own rivalries. Get, like, different suburbs in. You get the Kiwis involved as well. And then you've got, like, an international sport going on. And then, you know what I mean, afterwards, once you've got that as well, because even the most diehard bogan who hates gay people will get behind a champion. So even then, if you have those rivalries and you're working at rubbing it in Queensland's face in an interstate match, like, you know what I mean? And then the next stage after that, you know, when it's an international game, you then go for the Olympics. Where even then, you know what I mean? The most diehard bogan, as I'm saying, who's in the pub, like, he's just in there just watching this sport go on. And you know he's going to be, like, shouting on Australia to win that gold medal. And you know, afterwards he's been crying his eyes out because they're up against England in the final, and he's going to want those Poms to really suffer. And then afterwards, at that moment where the Australia, like at the end of that, where the Australian champions have won and the gold medals on their chest on top of that pearl necklace, that Bogan is going to be like crying his eyes out in the pub, and you guys are going to get gay marriage like that. And no plebiscite required. Avish and Logan, thanks so much. Goodbye. So I stick around, right?
You are secure.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello. You're not. Yeah, I like that. I'm not here. I'm not here. Is the difference there?
In my own secretariat. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Go for different angles.
Stuart Logan, ladies and gentlemen, woo! Doing a fantastic job of
pointing out dick sucking is the way to unity. Yeah.
We were discussing about.
I heard that as well. I heard Gabe at one point go, yes!
We just thought
it would be fantastic. Like, you know, the champagne, the victory champagne
the
at
victory
the end.
Yes. For them as well.
Just
more white liquid on top of me. I also like how this is now the start of Melbourne Fringe, so it's now toppers is just being suggested for this as well.
I've never heard you do that bit before.
No, I've done it. I've done it since living near the Peel. Like, generally, it's like about that happened a few months ago, like as well, and it was like just finally catching on of what the fuck is that place? Like, I've lived in Collingwood for about 10 months, but only just caught on about 4 months ago that was that was a gay sauna. So it was
fantastic.
Like just really odd.
So tell us a little bit about your show. So your show is...
It's called By Melbourne, It's Been Fun. Like, it's basically about how I've spent the year on the working holiday visa here, just living. It's very much Melbourne focused, this show. Like, I did a road trip round, and the problem is it's really hard to write road trip material about road trips where it goes fine. Like, nothing broke down, I didn't get raped, I didn't have anything go wrong that was that bad. So it was like, it's really hard to write comedy where you go, hey, I was in the car, I did gigs around the country, it went well, and nothing broke, and I had fun with some friends. Like, it's really hard to say that for comedy, because everyone's like, we don't care about that, Struan. We want to hear about the time when some hillbillies tried to catch you and kill you. This is a big difference. It's basically, just about Melbourne, like a lot about bartending here, like taking the piss out of hipsters, obviously. It's also become a reaction to Brexit as well, of how fucked Britain is at this point. Ooh. Of just how fucking shit that's
leaving us, is that why?
Well, I mean, like, it's blame your immigration. It's the big difference here as well. It's not my choice to leave. It's immigration saying,
Why do you hate Australia?
Why do I hate? I hate Australia because I'm so unpatriotic. Is the difference here as well? Yeah, I mean, like, I love that argument of, like, yeah, you disagree with us, you must fucking hate Australia. That's the difference. Like, Melbourne sort of, like, I love how Melbourne sort of looks at all that political shit and just goes, not again.
Yeah.
Like, the other thing as well is, like, you had Pauline Hanson made her speech today, and everyone just went, oh, God. It's all right.
That's the correct
response.
It's
all right. To be honest, Britain's got Nigel Farage. Like, that is... I'm not going to make fun of Australia for that. Like, Nigel Farage
is an actual Bond villain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, even then, he's a shit Bond villain is the worst part.
He's like the accountant of a Bond villain.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I mean?
We will find you how to deduct tax from this. Like, he's also, like, Nigel Farage is the guy who Pauline Hanson has on her wall as who to achieve.
Yeah, right.
Of how to get better as a politician.
Aspirational poster.
I mean, the worst part is, like,
bring in their empire.
Exactly. Like, it's just, oh, Real Britannia is the difference as well.
And she's rapping to Nigel Farage with that playing in the background.
Oh, exactly. Did you guys hear this as well, that Nigel Farage a couple of weeks ago spoke at a Donald Trump rally?
That's amazing.
Exactly.
That's
he
amazing.
Got paid to do that as well.
In the States, obviously.
I mean, not in Britain. I mean, like, even, I mean, Britain's not that fucking stupid yet. Like,
it's like a babushka doll of hate. It's just, what is going on there?
So many layers of hate to it as well. So no, the good thing is, like, I'm coming back to Melbourne. Like, I've got, I've done a few festivals around here, and I've got a booker that can say, like, hey, come back out to Melbourne, and we'll put you on doing some gigs here. So I need to find a venue, which is more the challenge for comedy festivals.
Of course, always,
in a couple of months' time. So if anyone knows some cool guys running a venue, or also if Mike's in the audience just now, I'm looking for a venue in 2018. So yeah, like, basically.
17 or 80?
Oh, no, I'm going back for a couple of things in the UK. Like, I'm sorry. Got a wedding to go to. I'm a best man, so I've got, no offense, but I like Australia, but I hate Australia more than I, like, hate my best friend. Like, that's the difference. It's like, as in, I don't hate Australia. I just prefer to be a best friend to someone as well that I'm going to a wedding for.
Whatever.
I know, sorry, unpatriotic shit as well.
My best friend is Australia.
You do a mic drop at this point and just get the fuck out.
And how many more nights have you got?
Oh, I'm doing the same. Basically, I'm the same venue as Gabe. I'm on actually after Gabe as well. So Gabe sold out tonight and I got 14 in. So please come to this one. But basically, Gabe's smashing it as well. So I get to afterwards go, please come to my show after Gabe's done. And they go, no, we're tired.
Too many laughs. Yeah. Can't laugh anymore. All right, cool. Yeah. Thank you. We're going to keep rolling along.
Yeah, of course.
You'll be back. Join
Logan, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Who wants the mic?
I'll take it. Now, guys. We got for our third act for the evening. Got a wonderful musical duo who I saw their show this afternoon. Can recommend. Not that they are not fantastic otherwise, but please, guys, make them feel very welcome as they come up to the stage, the Astrudes. We'll do some filler as they pick up their material, as they pick up their guitars. Yep, cool. All right, let's get out of the way. The Astrudes.
Hey, yes, we are the Astrudes, or Sarah and, yes, and
our show is called Rent a Stew, it's at the Butterfly Club, but three more shows left.
Yes, three
Sunday,
more.
5:30 every night, and it's been really fun.
Yep.
So you should come.
Okay, so what are we doing, Freya? So this song is not new, but it was written at a time when both Freya and I were unemployed, looking for work.
It was just Sarah, difficult not me. I had two jobs at the time. She just kept getting rejected, you know.
All right, thanks, Freya. So I guess this song is about if you could say anything to a potential employer, and you could sell yourself anyway, this is probably what we would say. If I were you, I'd think twice before deciding to let me go. I've been sitting in this interview an hour. You've got a stack of resumes like a tower, trying to figure out who to hire. Choose me and I won't start a fire. Give me a job, please give me a job, please. Gotta feed myself somehow. Can't just live off my youth allowance. My palate is getting bland, 'cause I can only afford home brand. Give me a job, please give me a job, please. I can wash the dishes, change a nappy, make a coffee, make you happy. I'll write your essays, do your shopping, even do some naked mopping.
If that's what you like.
I specialize in baking pies, in raking leaves and telling lies, driving and or navigation, also in assassination, also play with hot black tea, maybe with some LSD. I will do whatever you want, hire me, you little angel. Give me a job, please give me a job, please.
dedicated,
most efficient,
diligent,
and self-sufficient,
always punctual,
ready to learn.
Hire me now.
All of what you burn. It's just a joke. I'm just trying to keep my head above water. Throw me a line, I'm going under. I'll serenade you while you sleep. I'll even keep your little secret.
She wets the bed.
You say I need experience, but you won't give me experience. So how do I get experience if you won't give me a chance? Give me a job. Please give me a job. Please,
I've got to feed myself somehow. Can't just live off my youth allowance. My palate is getting bland, cause I can only afford home plan.
Give me a job. Please give me a job. Yeah, so ironically, our show is called Rent Is Due at the Butterfly Club, 5:30 for the next 3 days. And yeah, we took this whole week off to do that show, and as a result are not earning money from actually working. So yes. Please come, because we do need to pay our rent.
Sold all of my crappy DVDs except for Bambi. And I sit and watch his mother die all day. And I can pretend that's the reason that I'm crying. But the truth is, rent is due and I can't pay. I might be in debt, things are looking bad, but I won't fucking go back to mom and dad. Oh no,
you can't make
you
me
can't
go.
You can't make me go.
Things are turning from bad to worse, and I've only got a tumbleweed in my purse. So there it goes.
There it goes.
Now I got nothing in my purse. Where does the money go? I don't know. Where does the money go? Well, maybe a sugar daddy is the key if I wanna be debt free. Oh, before I'm 60.
Before I'm 60.
Is toilet paper really a necessity? Cause I still got some gift wrap from Christmas Eve. I think it's a necessity.
Definitely a necessity.
Internet, food, electricity, the pyramid of my priorities. Do I need to eat?
Cause I ate last week.
Where does the money go? I don't know. Where does the money go? Did I really need that ShamWow? Oh, and maybe I could have done without those Egyptian cotton towels. And 10 expansion packs of Cards Against Humanity. Oh, and how many 10 slice toasters do we really need?
But it was buy two, get one free.
We can't even afford bread, Freya.
I'm sorry.
Where does
the money go? I don't know. Where does the money go? That's where the money goes. Now I know. That's where the money went.
So that's why I can't pay rent this month, okay?
Righto. So this next one, Freya. Yeah, okay. We're doing this. Because we have some money-saving tips for you. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, if you like going to a thrift shop, we've got one better. We'll let you in on a little secret. I'm wearing grandma's rags. I found some dentures in my pocket. I'm sponging, cause I don't have a dollar. Glad wrap some cake to take home. Now, walk up to grandma, she like, I got a big cake. She baked this cake fresh, you know it ain't fake. My favorite part of the cake is the frosting. I'd eat the whole thing, but
don't want an ass like a donkey.
Look grandma up and down while she's making tea. I notice she got better style than me. I say, grandma, man, your clothes are sweet, she said.
There's more in the wardrobe if you like what you see.
I'm wearing grandma's rags. I found some dentures in my pocket. I'm sponging, cause I don't have a dollar. Glad wrap some cake to take home. She got cardigans and blouses and vests to dress a whole town. Turtlenecks and cotton pants in every shade of brown. Different scarf for every day of the year. Your grandma, can I have this?
Why, certainly, dear.
I'm wearing grandma's rags. I found some dentures in my pocket. I'm sponging, cause I don't have a dollar. Glad wrap some cake to take home. I'm wearing grandma's rags. I found some dentures in my pocket. I'm sponging, cause I don't have a dollar. Glad wrap some cake to take home. I wear my grandma's clothes. I smell like mothballs. I'm sponging, cause I don't have a dollar. Glad wrap some cake to take home. I wear my grandma's clothes. I smell like mothballs. I'm sponging, cause I don't have a dollar. Glad wrap some cake to take home.
Sweet. Thanks, everybody.
And the Astros, give it up. Some fantastic fun, some fun wordplay, some good covers, everything you want from a musical comedy duo. And you said your show is Rent is Due. The theme seems pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Money. You don't get it? Marty's not on board. That's all right, Marty's slow. He's like my special sidekick. You want a mic? So special. Anything you'd care to share with them about the show? I think you said most of it. Three more shows?
Yes.
Three more shows. 5:30, Butterfly Club. How long have you been doing this music?
A couple of years?
Yeah.
And when did you decide comedy was the way to go?
Last year or something, I think.
Last year?
Like first song you did, Give Me a Job. We did that about
2 years. Use your microphone voice.
Yes, podcast. Microphone. Give Me a Job. We wrote that a couple of years ago when Sarah was actually struggling to find work.
It's not funny. It's real.
No, the funniest stuff is real. Yeah.
But I think the newest song in the show is about like 2 weeks old. So
two weeks?
Quite
that's not too bad.
Quite.
Well, given you can rehearse a lot because it's music. You don't have to punch it up in front of a crowd like you would if it was a joke, because I can tell my jokes to myself all day. They're not going to get better. But you guys can at least, you can get tighter on the music.
Yeah.
You can learn it quite easily. So it's a nice road to go down. And you thought comedy would be more lucrative than money? Than music?
Like, why do you want to be poor?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it just felt a bit more natural. Like we tried to like be a real band, that went great. It was fine, but comedy just felt really the way to go. We just complain about life and
that's
find the funny things.
That's what I do for 50 minutes before this. No, that's fantastic. All right, thank you so much for coming out, guys, for making your time available. Now we're gonna do. It's okay. You can shuffle to the side a bit, and I'll talk to the crowd. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna beta test a new thing. That's for this podcast. We want to give away tickets
to everyone's, or as many as we can, everyone who's got spare seats show. So our comedians, so maybe the girls might work as a team, I don't know. You know what, you can go separately, that's fine. Everyone pick someone from the crowd. Just pick someone. Let them know.
Make,
yeah. You go, and then you guys will come back up. We're going to play some games. We're going to do some quick, some chance for the comedians to be a bit silly. You've seen how good they can be. And now if we put them up loose and you and they don't quite work, then you know that they can be funny. So don't worry about it, guys. You're in safe hands. You'll be fine. But if you guys could just pick someone from the crowd, just pick someone, let them know that you'll
just
play for them.
Just tap them on the head
Yeah, just be like, you. Duck, make, like, it's just totally isolate someone.
Skill tester.
Make someone uncomfortable. Oh, no.
God damn it. One single dude.
That's fair. That's. Well, I see. He's down. He's down.
He just left wet on Wellington, so he's like, well.
And Gabe, have you picked someone? Oh, you got this other gentleman here. All right, so if our comedians could please take the stage again. And we'll get some mics. We should have enough mics for everyone.
Is there enough?
We should have enough. I need one.
Oh, you need one.
Yep, and if you guys want to share a mic just here. And Strin's got that. All right, now, we've got a couple of, so I said at the top that the theme of the show was music. So I got a couple of questions that I might shoot at. So like I found some fun musical facts, and I came up with some questions based on those musical facts. And this is just a chance for our comedians to show off their improv skills and just be a little bit funny. On the I'm expecting silly answers, so it's fine. We'll start off with something really simple. So,
Hey guys, I just should probably tell you, I failed improv,
that's fine.
By the way.
That's fine.
Which you would think is impossible, but
it's fine.
I pulled it off.
If you've ever heard the podcast, there's no pressure to be funny whatsoever.
There's a band called The Postal Service. Do we know them? Do we know who they are? Yeah. Some of them, you do? Yeah, cool.
No, I did not.
No? That's fine. It's irrelevant. Except that their name... So they got sued.
Why are you telling us this? Okay, all right.
They got a cease and desist from the US Postal Service for using the name The Postal Service.
I see what they did there. That's
right. And in order to get away, like in order to keep using the name, because they still use it now, they had to put a free concert on for The Postal Service. That was the way they made up for it. So, I want you to just, we'll give you a minute. I might whip my phone out, we'll get a minute up. And just come up with as many things that bands would have had to have do to keep their name. You got that? All right? Just make it up. I expect the silliest answers that you've got.
Okay.
Ready? And go.
Well, the Dead Kennedys started off, it was quite a big band. It was like quite a lot of them to begin with, but they had to cut down the numbers there. So.
Fantastic. One to get.
The Beatles 2 would just be Ringo, just failing on his own on a drum kit and just crying, just as on his own. More sad than funny, really.
That's fine. Yeah. Keep going. Anyone else?
Korn. There's a band.
Yes, there was a band called Korn.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
What would they have to do to keep their name?
They had to grow a good crop.
Yeah. Fantastic. Go. Anyone else?
Oh, God. Well, Pink.
Yep.
She was a guy and had to get it off so she had more pink bits. I don't know.
We'll give you that. And that is time.
Thank fuck.
Time on that.
I just stalled for a moment.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Got out of that. Yeah. Stalling time.
All right. Stop. And that's sort of how it's going to work. Gabe's in the lead. for the woman who is the most worried about improvising, she's doing well. All right, what have we got? Oh, hold that for me. Thank you. All right. The longest piano piece of all time is a piece that's titled Vexations. It consists of 180 note composition, which is repeated 840 times, a playing of which is 8 hours and 40 minutes.
18 hours,
and 40 minutes. It has been performed publicly And the performance required a 10-man relay piano team. And by the end, there was only 6 audience members left. At the end of which, one dude got up and was like, "Encore!" Which, you know, he was sitting on for about 10 hours. He got 8 hours in and he's like, "It's going to be worth it. It's going to be so worth it." All right, so just, we've got a minute. What other sorts of endurance marathons, or endurance records have musicians put people through? Go.
On a similar note, just me playing chopsticks for 4 hours in a row would just be my contribution to that. I'm just going, dung, 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 dung,
dung, dung, dung, dung,
dung, dung, dung, dung, dung, dung, dung.
Anyone else?
I know, I listened to one of Kanye's songs, yep, and it felt like it was an endurance sport. Like an
endurance sport. Boo, boo, boo.
I didn't know you were Kanye West.
You don't know a lot of things. Yeah.
I think I missed the question, but I know there's a Heya thing where it's just, yeah, all right, 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 all right.
Because the Hey Now Ladies is such a
release. Always happens after like an hour. Yeah.
It's like 10 hours long.
Does anyone else got another one?
It's not just like everything on YouTube. There's like a 10-hour version of every phrase, whatever you can find, particularly dung 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 dung.
Number 8.
That's
number 8.
Alright, that's time on that. And Gabe's still in the lead because everyone just keeps coming up with one. She's come up with two on one particular question.
Wait a minute, if I win, do I have to give away free tickets to my show?
Everyone is. I am.
Oh, everyone
too.
Is.
Yeah,
okay.
Everyone
so
is.
Yeah, we all lose money, guys.
It just goes to the person that you picked.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
The wonders of the fringe.
Yeah, and we'll do this for our last one because we're running out of time. So there's a metal band called Hate Beak. Whose lead singer is an African grey parrot. I've listened to some of their stuff. It's essentially just like loops of this grey parrot singer. Of this grey parrot making noises, which sounds surprisingly like metal singers. He's just like... so...
He's filling in for Axl Rose.
Yeah. just quickly, we've got a minute. What other animals might have been in bands? And if you can, what are the names of those bands?
Well, let's go for the obvious one straight away, the Monkees.
Monkees, very good.
Throwing shit but at the audience, that'd be it.
That's their
encore. Not so much a band, more just the sound one of splats is the difference.
Right, yep, go, keep going.
Baby animals, just lots of tiny baby animals. Vomiting.
Vomiting.
Everyone would pay to see baby animals.
There's the gorillas. They're a lot like the monkeys, but their turds a lot bigger. So
and then weightier is the difference as well. It's more just like a humph than a splat that time is the difference.
The pit bulls, but they've been banned in Australia, so...
They do get to play the greyhound, though, is the difference.
You're right.
That was my one local reference here. It was another gay bar.
10 seconds.
I think the greyhounds got put down, didn't they?
Oh, sorry.
They had a cease and desist from the government. time. All right, guys. Just looking at that, I think Gabe is our winner, to be honest. You guys did great. That was fun.
I was like,
everyone's
your
a
best.
Winner.
You guys are way too polite.
So what we'll do is... get your details when we're all finished. And if you're interested in coming to see any of these guys, they should be able to set you up with a date of any of their remaining dates for the Fringe Festival. Thank you so much for coming out. For everyone else who didn't win, do please go see the show and pay some money to see it. They're all fantastic performers. We've got 2 more of these, which will be a little more organized. No promises. We've got 2 more of these Thursday nights during the festival, and I'm doing my own show called The Face of Gentrification and Other Ideas, which was before this. So for the remainder of this week will be before this, so 9:15, and then the third week of Fringe will be at 6 o'clock. I'd love to see you all come out. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for enduring with us. Stupid, I got a new shiny toolkit to fix it, base and I use it. Flipping birds, I ain't talking no middle bit.
kiss the ring of your favorite rap singer. Desk pop rolls coming out the oven.